era.
It's your mama. Good morning, church family. How are ya? Good to see you here this morning. Want to let you know about a few things coming up here at the church. We're going to worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings here in just a moment. If this is your first time here with us today, welcome. Really, really glad that you're here with us today. In your worship guide is a connection card. Looks like this. If you would take a few moments and fill this out with some of your information and place it in the offering plate when it comes by in just a few minutes, that would be spectacular. We just want to get a little bit of information about you and let you know how much we appreciate you being here with us today. In your worship guide is a pathway happenings sheet like this. And want to let you know about a few outreach opportunities that we have coming up that are really exciting this week. First of all, tonight starts our next softball season right out here at the fields. First game is at 5:30 tonight, 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a six-team league. We've been doing this for about 3 years now, and it is a great way for us to reach out to some of the guys in our community and some of the wives of the guys in our community. And, you know, we have a couple church guys on each team, and then we fill it up with the rest of the guys from the community that want to play, and they come from all over Tucson to play softball here on Sunday nights, and it's a great way to reach out to them, form relationships with them, and hopefully get them into church at some point. That's our goal. That's what we're praying towards. And, you know, the wives of the players that come out, sit in the stands, and are available to talk to and chat with during the games. And it's just a great opportunity to reach out to the families here in our community. So if you want to come out and support us tonight at 5:30, that would be terrific. Our teams are packed full. We're going to add one or two teams next season because we are just packed to the hilt with players. So that's a great thing. That's an awesome thing. Lots of guys to reach out to. So come on out and support us tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, this Friday night here at the bottom of the Pathway Happenings page, there's an opportunity for you to help out the children that attend this school, Coronado School, here where we hold our services on Sundays until the point where we are in a building. But it's a great opportunity for us to reach out to the families that attend school here. It's called the GAP Backpack Project, Backpack to School Project. And there's a carnival here they set up for the kids, and there's backpacks that they put together. They stuff with all kinds of school supplies and stuff for the kids that can't afford that kind of stuff on their own. And people just line up around the block for these backpacks, and they participate in the carnival games and everything. And they're always looking. The school is always the GAP people that organize this are always looking for helpers, people to help run some of the carnival games, people to help make hot dogs, people to help stuff the backpacks. There's all kinds of things that they need help with this Friday night. So if you're interested in helping out with this project, talk to Mindy right back here, and she will get you set up. We've got a few volunteers already, and we need a lot more, and it would be great if you are free Friday night from 5:30 to 8:30 to help us reach out to our community in this way. It's a great way to do that. We're going to worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings now. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we know that your word commands us to reach out to the men and women that are around us, Father, that need you. And we're doing that, Father, through this softball league and through this GAP Ministries project that we're helping out with, Lord. Right now, we just ask your blessing over those two events. Lord, those two projects that we have to reach out for you, Father. I pray that you would prepare the hearts and minds of the guys that are playing softball tonight to hear your word, Lord, and to form relationships with the church guys that are on their teams and come to church, Father, and learn about you. And for the families that are going to be getting backpacks on Friday, I pray that you would just bless them, provide for them, and give them just an extra measure of your grace, Father, and bring them into your family if they're not already a part of that. Lord, we pray your blessing over these tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name, amen.
I give my heart to you, Lord. I give my soul to you, Lord. I give my mind, I give my all to you, O Lord. I give my hands to you, Lord. I give my strength to you, Lord. I give my life, I give my all to you, O Lord. For you alone are worthy of all I am. For you have given me all, and the least I can do is give it back to you. I give my voice to you, Lord. I give my praise to you, Lord. I give my life, I give my all to you, O Lord. For you alone are worthy of all I am. For you have given me all, and the least I can do is give it back to you. I give my heart to you, Lord. I give my soul to you, Lord. And I give my mind, I give my all to you, O Lord. I give my hands to you, Lord. I give my strength to you, Lord. I give my life, I give my all to you, O Lord.
Nice. Can I have that maybe? After you're done, can I have that? Don't you love the words to that song? You have given everything to me, and the least I can do is give it back to you. Thank you, Mindy, for singing that. Well, we are in escrow right now in purchasing a facility here in Catalina. That's 6,400 square feet. And usually when you're in escrow, it's an exciting thing because it's normally a done deal that you're getting something. It's still an exciting thing, but I want to tell you there's many different hoops we have to jump through before this thing can become a reality. So keep praying for God's will regarding it. A lot of things before even our denomination will approve it. One is we have to have a certificate of occupancy, and there's been 5 violations on this property for past misuses, and they did a lot of things in that facility without getting permits, and so the county put the brakes on it, and there's 5 violations. So we have to see about getting those violations removed, as well as looking at the cost for putting a sprinkler system in there and various things that we'll need to bring it up to the 2006 International Code Book. And then after we figure out all the cost of all that, the denomination has to decide whether or not they think we can afford the payment on it. So I think we can, because I have the faith that this is you know, what God wants us to do for our next step, having a facility that we have 24 hours a day. And we're going to be talking a lot more about this building as we get closer to it, like a 75 or 80% chance of us getting it, or 90%. Right now it's 50-50. So we're just praying. We're just exercising our faith. God, if this is your will for your church, yes, so be it. If it's not, you know, there's a lot of hoops that will probably just, you know, prevent it from happening. So, but it'll be a great next facility for us. It's a beautiful building inside. We'd give it a outside facelift to bring it at least up into the 90s. The thing was built in 1965, and actually, it'll probably be in style pretty soon, so maybe just leave it the way it is. But but let's continue to pray about that, though, this facility. It's on Everett Street, if you want to look at it, right by the Arby's, about a mile. I don't even know where I am that way. Okay. In your bulletins, there's a note sheet titled My Father's Business. Today I want to talk to you about that very thing, being about our Father's business. I love looking back to stories of my kids when they were younger. My kids are growing up right now, so, you know, the things they do, you know, today aren't as cute as they used to be. You know, the things they do when they get in their teenage years are a little bit, you know, I guess more trying. But when they're kids, I mean, it's just so fun. Those of you with small children know what I'm talking about, but I remember when I was pastoring New Hope Christian Fellowship in Hayward, and my goal was always to have my sermon preparation, all my study done by Thursday. That was my deadline day, because I wanted Friday to regroup and recharge so I could come into the weekend, you know, not being tired but being fresh. So my goal was to have my sermon done on Thursday. So I remember this one Thursday, I was studying like crazy, and I was trying to get this message done. My goal was to get it done like by 1 o'clock. But John kept on coming in and saying, Daddy, I was in my home office, Daddy, can we play baseball? So we had this backyard that was huge, and I used to pitch wiffle balls to the kids, you know, all the time. They just loved it, and their goal was to try to hit it over the fence into the neighbor's yard. And John, all morning long, wanted me to play. I said, John, I'm studying. I've got to get my sermon done. About 20 minutes later, Dad, are you done yet? I want to play baseball. No, John, I've got to get the sermon done. Just give me some time, John. I'll get this done. I remember this like it was yesterday. He was probably 4 years old. He's 10 right now. And by about 11 o'clock, he came in again. He said, Dad, are you done yet? John, I'll come get you when I'm done. I'm trying to finish my sermon. So I finished probably around 1 o'clock, and I remember going into his room, and he's in his closet with a little orange New Testament Bible, a Gideon Bible, and a piece of paper. And I said, hey, John, I'm done with my sermon. Do you want to go play baseball? And he said, I can't, Dad. I'm working on my sermon. And he wasn't being vindictive at all. He was just so sweet. I'm working on my sermon, you know. And my heart sunk. It's like, oh, you know, I thought, well, I could have taken some time to take a break and play with him. But more than that, I realized that he wanted to be like his dad. In fact, as a parent, it sometimes puts extra pressure on us because our kids want to be like us. And it makes me want to be a better person and a better man and a better Christian, that my kids are looking at me to want to be like me. But my little boy was at his daddy's business creating a sermon. I guess if you're a carpenter, your son probably has a hammer and is, you know. But there's that phrase, being at my father's business, it's just been resonating in my spirit the last 3 weeks, what its implications for me are. And that's what I want to talk to you this morning about, is those words that Jesus spoke when he was just a 12-year-old boy, when he said, I've got to be at my father's house or at my father's business. And this text that we're going to read this morning is from Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 41. Can we turn there right now? When Jesus said, I must be at my father's business, He wasn't talking about his earthly dad, Joseph. He was talking about his father in heaven. And what we learn in Luke chapter 2, it is so, so relevant for us today as we really endeavor to be the people that God has called us to be. And I just, my prayer for myself this morning, my prayer for you is that we would just grasp what is going on here, and we would have that same heart of Jesus where we could say with all of our hearts, with all of our integrity, that I want to be at my Father's business. This is from Luke 2:41. I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. This is what it says. His parents, Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. According to Old Testament law, there were several festivals that Israelites were required to go to Jerusalem to attend. And in the spring, the Feast of the Passover was celebrated. And they were on their way to the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, it says, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. See, in those days when you attended a feast or a festival, you would travel in caravans because you didn't want to be stopped by, you know, robbers along the way. And women would normally travel in the front of the caravan, and men would travel in the back of the caravan. But being a 12-year-old boy, you could either be with the women or the men at that time. So Mary must have thought that Jesus was with Joseph. Joseph thought that Jesus was with Mary. And so it says in verse 44, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Could you imagine the feeling mom and dad and all the relatives must have had? They traveled a whole day. They get to their destination and, uh-oh, Jesus is not with us. And it reminded me of a time when John was 3 years old, and we went to the Oakland Coliseum. We were attending a playoff game of the A's and the Yankees, and there was, I think that day was like 40,000, 42,000 people in attendance, and we stayed all 9 innings long, and Mindy and I have our 4 kids with us. Daniel's a baby, John's 3, Hannah's 5, Bethany 7. And so we're leaving the Coliseum, and we get down to the parking lot. Mindy thinks that I've got John with me, and I think that John's with her. Because she saw, you know, me carrying Daniel and the little boy walking next to me. She thought that was John. So we get to the parking lot. Thousands of people everywhere know John. If you've ever lost your kid for a few moments, you know what I'm talking about, that feeling. So we run back into the Coliseum against the traffic of people walking out. We get in there. We look all around. All we see are adults. We can't see little kids. And we're both starting to cry. We're like, where's John? You know, where's John? And Minnie kind of heads towards the seats. I'm looking all around. All of a sudden, I see a police officer. And I think I'm going to go tell him we've lost our 3-year-old son. So I go over there. And right standing next to the police officer is John. Just, you know, the police officer didn't even know that John was there. But at least he had the sense to know that, okay, I'm lost. I better go stand by somebody in a uniform. So, but that feeling, it must have been, it felt like an eternity, but it's probably only 5 or 10 minutes. But that feeling, man, of just losing your kid. I can't imagine what Mary and Joseph must have felt being a whole day away from their son. And it says in verse 46, now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple. So it took him one day to travel, one day to come back, and probably a whole other day all around Jerusalem. Where is Jesus? And it says they found him sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. All who had heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you so anxiously. I wonder if they spanked him. I don't think you can spank Jesus. It might not be good. In verse 49, and he said to them, why is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? but they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. See, they didn't realize that he was making this distinction between his heavenly father and his earthly father. Jesus began to, he knew that he had a unique relationship with God, and although Mary and Joseph knew he was God's son, they did not understand what the whole thing yet involved and what his mission would involve. And verse 51 says, "Then he went down with them and came up to Nazareth and was subject to them." So Jesus still lived under their authority for another 18 years. "But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." I believe this is a powerful story. It has so much relevance to us. It says in the New King James, "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Other translations say, "Did you not know I must be in my father's house?" But the translations, they pretty much imply the same thing, that Jesus had a clear realization of his relation to God. In fact, he was surprised that Mary and Joseph did not understand it. There's something that I've been chewing on from this all for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I think it has some implications for all of us this morning. And the first thing is this, Jesus had an undivided dedication to do his Father's will. We see it starting at this point, but then we see it continued throughout his whole life. He had an undivided, clear set, you know, uncompromised dedication to do his Father's will, to be at his Father's business. He'd never swerved from it. When you start studying the scriptures, what is the Father's will? What is the Father's business? Well, we know that it's the souls of people. We know that the Father's business is people. He's in the people business. And that's the reason Jesus came to this earth. The reason God sent his son to the earth was to seek and to save the lost. The reason that God sent his son to the cross is so that he could die for the souls of mankind, that, you know, we could all experience God's forgiveness. And when we talk about the Father's business, we're talking about allowing for people to experience eternal salvation so that souls would be saved. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the last time I was here, that Jeff Parziel, who's the president of the Tucson Evangelical Association, he gave a statistic to us that says that it's estimated that in Tucson, based on the population and the amount of people that attend church, all churches, including Catholic churches, only 7% of the people in Tucson attend church. And, you know, we don't know how many people are saved, and even of those 7% are just in Tucson, but we know that here in southern Arizona, we have a harvest field about us, and it's a mission field, and people need God's salvation. Because without God, people are headed toward a place called hell. And in these last days, we've really got to wake up to the reality that people will be lost without God's salvation. And we got to wake up to the fact that we're called to be ambassadors of Christ, to respond to the Great Commission with that undivided devotion to do the will of the Father. See, that was Jesus's, all of his life, his mission was to be at his Father's business. And what I'm talking about is living for a higher purpose than just life as we know it. We're talking about shaping our desires and our dreams and our goals and our thought patterns and what we live for to reflect God's plan for humankind, the salvation of those that don't know our Savior. And I want to challenge you this morning to think about how you can be at your Father's business with at least these three things. Maybe there's more implications for you that maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, but the first thing is this. We cannot settle with the status quo. I'm telling you, don't settle for the status quo. Don't settle for just living life with spiritual complacency where you just live for the moment, you live for... It's got to be more than that for us. It's got to be more than just living our life. And if you know your priorities are not right, if you know that you're not living for kingdom purposes, change it. Don't settle with the status quo. I'm the first to tell you it's easy to get distracted and caught up in our busyness and caught up in our plans. And I think we all, if we've been a believer long enough, we know when we start slipping off. Do you know what I'm talking about? We know when we know the signs when we begin getting off track. We become more tolerant of sin. We become used to not being in the Word. If we miss several days, it's not a big thing. Because we're off track. We become prayerless even. And if we settle with the status quo too long, we become friends of this world, distracted by the things of this world, and completely off target of God's plan for us. And I'm telling you, if we are to be at our Father's business, we must live our lives with that goal to please God our Savior. The Apostle Paul had the perspective of what life was all about. Look what he said in Galatians 2:20. Would you read this with me? Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I love how he can say that. It's not me that you see here. I no longer live. I've died to my sinful nature. I've crucified the flesh. I no longer live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Paul did not settle with the status quo. He did not live his life to be spiritually complacent. For him, it was about living for the purposes of God. In fact, I love what he said in Philippians 1:21. Such a powerful statement. Paul said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He goes on to say that it's gain because he could be in the presence of Jesus, but he says, "No, I must be here so I can keep on encouraging you and discipling you and living for the reason God created me." And I want to encourage you this morning, do not settle for the status quo. Live radically for Christ. Do whatever it takes to get yourself back on track. Make a commitment this morning. If you've been out of the Word, get back in the Word. Get in touch with the reason God created you. And I tell you, this is how we can be at our Father's business and be able to say with Jesus, you know, "I've got to be at my Father's business." Not at the world's business, but at my Father's business. The second thing the Lord has been speaking to me is this, that to be at our Father's business, it's praying to be used by God and responding when God answers that prayer, because he will. If you make that prayer, "Lord, use me today, use me at work, use me on the baseball field, use me wherever," God will answer that prayer. Jesus, all of his life, he did the will of his Father. And even toward the end of his life, when he started to contemplate the trials that were coming, remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prays and he says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Take all these things that I'm about to do, even dying on the cross. If you are willing, Father, take these things from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." See, Jesus wasn't trying to get out of his mission. He was merely expressing his feelings to his Father. But then he reaffirmed his commitment to do what God wanted, because he was always at his Father's business, ready to be used by God. And this morning, I want to challenge you to pray that prayer, that even in the spirit of Isaiah, who in Isaiah 6:8, when God calls him, Isaiah says, "God, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me." It's a prayer that I prayed when I was 23 years old. It was finally I had, you know, I grew up as a Christian and you know, knew what it meant to serve God, but I really didn't do it until age 23, and I prayed that prayer, and I remember saying, "Lord, you know, here I am, Lord. This life that I've lived, all it's brought me is emptiness. There's been no, you know, I don't even know why I'm living." And I said, "Lord, here I am. Use me anytime, any place, anyhow you want to do that. Would you please use me?" And I remember praying, "Lord, I'm yours." It's a prayer of surrender in which you tell God that you're willing and ready to have that undivided dedication to do his will. And if you really want to be at your Father's business, pray for God to use you. Let's watch this.
Here I am, Lord. I don't want to walk by myself and pack on a burden I'm not required to carry. I want to do this in your power, your strength, because honestly, I love you. So I'm asking, how do I do this? How do I overcome my fears and reach out to my neighbor? How do I evangelize in my sphere of influence? I'm willing. I mean, if Tom needs a truck to move, he can use mine. Cheryl's patio is falling down. I've got a bunch of tools. I'll build her a new one. I'll spring for the lumber. Or if Jack still wants to visit Aunt Betty in North Dakota, I'll buy him a ticket. I want to love them, and not just with words, but action. You say you've come to seek and to save the lost, to give them life and life to the full. And I've tasted that, so I pray for your life to be part of their life. And I pray that I could play a part of giving that. This neighborhood, this community. It's my mission field, right? But I don't know where else to begin, so I'm praying here. I want to serve you with my entire life. So here I am, Lord. Send me.
I love how that shows how he's making that prayer, but then he realizes that that prayer can be answered in just the little things that you can do for your neighbor or for those that you know, if the motivation is love, ensuring God's love. We have about 20 men in our church that will be playing on a softball team starting tonight. And my prayer for this is that this season we can make it our vision that their playing field will be our mission field. I mean, what an incredible opportunity for us men in the church to build kingdom-minded relationships with men in our community. Yesterday, Chris Dahl and I, we had a batting practice with the compadres and 8 other men from the community that were there. I was so humbled. I was saying, Lord, you've given us a touch point to these guys that without the softball team, we wouldn't be out there with these guys building relationships. And I'm just praying that this season we can just love people with words and actions and pray that prayer, Lord, I want to be used by you. If I can do something to help this guy out, if I can just simply, you know, start a spiritual conversation, or Lord, however you want to do it, I don't know, but I'm willing to be used by you. Because I don't think it's a coincidence that we're reaching out to 70 men, 80 men this season. I don't think it's by coincidence. I don't think we're doing it just to win a ball game or to live out our glory days. I think there's a higher purpose to it. I know there's a higher purpose to it. Because God loves those men and their wives and their kids. And I believe this season can be a breakthrough season where we really help these families experience God's love and salvation. So let's pray that we can be used by God. Even I was thinking of the wives in the stands. Even last season, several of the wives building relationships with other wives. What an opportunity God has given us with this softball league. Let's pray this season that their playing field is our mission field. And if we've got 15 guys on our team, you know, I was telling Doug last night, probably the most important position that us guys can play might be the bench if we've got a lot of guys on, you know, our teams, because we want to give those guys an opportunity to play and just serve them. Maybe that's our modern day of washing feet, giving up some play so we can let those guys play, but because we know that we've got a higher mission than just playing softball. This is an outreach that God has given us to men in our community. So let's pray that we wouldn't settle with the status quo. Let's make that commitment that we're going to just not live for you know, life here on earth, but we've got a higher purpose. Let's pray that we can be used by God. And the third thing is this. Let's pray. I mean, really commit to it, to pray for the salvation of lost people in our lives. I was thinking about this week. I know people who aren't saved, and if I'm not praying for their salvation, it's almost criminal. You know what I'm talking about? I know the good news. My security is set in God's salvation, right? How arrogant is it of me to not even pray for those that don't know Jesus as their Savior? It's like I don't even, if I'm not even willing to pray for them, it's like I don't even care. I don't care what God has done for me. I don't care what God has done for them. The Lord was really convicting me on this week. I've got to at least get to the place where, all right, I'm going to, for the lost people in my life that I know, I've got to commit to praying for their salvation. And we need to pray for the lost people in our circle of relationships. The Apostle Paul, he's in a tremendous example of being at his father's business. Not only did he pray for doors to be opened so he could proclaim the message, but he prayed that he could proclaim the message with boldness. And look what he says in Romans 10. He prays for the Israelites that they may be saved. He says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." It was his heart's desire. When you look at the Greek to this, it literally means, when you look at heart's desire, it means that his heart was broken for the Israelites. He begged God to save them. And this challenges me to think about truly what my heart's desire is. In fact, I want to ask you this morning, if you just think about it for a little bit, what is your heart's desire? What is it? When we are at our Father's business, our heart's desire really should be like Paul's and Jesus's and God's, the souls of people. And I want to just ask you right now, maybe think of two people, one or two people, maybe even more, maybe someone in your family, someone that you know that is not saved. Maybe if you'd write their name down on your piece of paper and make it your heart's desire and your prayer that they be saved. When you pray for them, beg God to save them. Say, "Lord, I just pray right now for their, I beg you, Lord, that you would just bring them to saving knowledge of Jesus, because I don't want them to perish. I don't want them to go to hell, Lord. I want them to experience eternity with you forever." And also pray that God would give you boldness to bring them to church or even share your faith with them. Pray for their salvation, but pray for boldness and pray that God would give you that opportunity for you to help them meet Christ as their Savior. That's my prayer for me this week. That's my prayer for you today, is that we would restructure our lives in such a way that we could say with all sincerity, "I've got to be at my Father's business. I mean, there's so many distractions, so many ways I can go, but I've got to get back to where I'm on track at my Father's business." Pastor Greg Groeschel, he's pastor of Live Church TV. It's probably the country's largest church right now. It's an internet campus, but he's also an author. But he invites people to pray what he calls the most dangerous prayer. And I want to ask you to pray this. You might be surprised what it is. Craig says, "Do you truly want to make a difference in this world? Do you want generations to be different because you knew Christ? Do you want a church that will impact your city, state, and even the world? Then pray this prayer." And this is the prayer: "God, please break me. Break me." And Craig says he will. And when he does, you will be ruined in the best sort of way. Your heart will ache for those without Christ if you pray, "Lord, please break me." You'll despise spiritual complacency. You'll see the darkness of your heart clearly. You'll be bothered deeply by things you used to easily overlook. He says you'll cry often and easily because you're broken before God, and you'll know Jesus more intimately. And this morning as we close, I want to invite you to pray that with me this morning. "Lord, please break my heart for the things that break your heart." Can we all bow our heads? Lord Jesus, we make this our final prayer to this morning during our service, Lord. Break me, Lord. Break us, Lord Jesus. Lord, give us that passion, Lord. Renew our passion for you. Renew our compassion for people, Lord. Lord, I just pray this morning we could all leave here with the confidence, Lord, that we can say this with our whole hearts, Lord, that we're going to be at our Father's business, Lord. I pray that for myself and my family, Lord, and I pray that for my church family, Lord. I just pray that you'd break us right now, Lord Jesus. Soften our hearts, Lord. Maybe where we've had bitterness and unforgiveness and we've been offended or we've been hurt, but I just pray, Lord, you'd soften our hearts right now toward people, Lord. Break us, Lord, I pray. Break us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Again, let's pray this. Oh, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Won't you break me, melt me, mold me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. We all bow our heads right now. Before we close and dismiss, I just want to give you an opportunity. If you've never said yes to Jesus and opened up your heart to him and experienced his salvation, I don't want you to leave this morning without giving you that opportunity to just allow God to come into your life. If that's you and you've never said, Jesus, I want to live for you the rest of my life and come into my life and be my Lord, be my Savior. Give me a new hope for my life. Give me a brand new start. Would you just raise your hand right now? I'm going to pray for everybody, but and I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But if that's you and you want me to pray for you, you just raise your hand right now. Is there anybody here? All right. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, for this room filled with believers, Lord. And because, Lord, we are believers, Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, over us, Lord, that even as we leave today and as we go about our different plans and activities, Lord, that we would just have this phrase, Lord, resonate in our own lives and spirits, that we will be at your business, Lord. Whether it's at Home Depot, Lord, or whether it's on the softball field, whether it's at work, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would take those opportunities you give us, Lord, to speak life into people and to speak hope to them, Lord, the hope that you've given us, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, that we would live up to our calling, Lord, to be ambassadors for Christ, Lord. And as a result of it, Lord, I just pray that Pathway of Hope would double and triple, Lord, and quadruple as we reach people for you, Jesus. Lord, give us a new desire, Lord, for our church, Lord, a renewed desire, Lord, that we would be a pathway of hope to people in this community, Lord. I just pray right now that it would burn within us, Lord. We would be unsatisfied, Lord, with the status quo as we long for you, Lord, and as we long to be used by you. I pray that over all of us, in your precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you all for coming. Good to see you. All right. We're gonna dismiss right now, but the band's going to rock out with One Way Jesus. Here we go. All right. God bless you all.
I lay my life down at your feet, 'cause you're the only one I need. I turn to you and you are all